Now we ourselves are cabin into these terrestrials. We are, as it were, put into a box. Originally, we are not in the box. Our origin, or whatever we are, is exactly here, in the transcendental. When you ask the question, what am I, and where am I, the answer is, I am a portion of the transcendental, and I am in the transcendental. This is the true answer to our question, what am I and where am I? Even when we don't experience this, because we are imprisoned, we are only seeing this world as it is, and only seeing only this portion. But if we can expand the consciousness, then we can live simultaneously in all these planes. Sri Aurobindo and the mother walked on this earth with this total consciousness, simultaneously aware of all this and working on all the planes. Just as our work is confined only to this little thing, once you begin to become more and more aware, we are admitted into all this because we already belong there. Only we become aware. You become aware that you are every all this. Take for example, even now, we are cabin in this little space. Now, if I ask a question, in this space, where are your thoughts? What space here is occupied by your thoughts? You just ask this question. In this space, your body is certainly located in a place where no other body can sit. But where you are occupying that space, nobody else can occupy. But when you say to yourself, I wrote a long essay. Now, long means space, isn't it? Wherever you say long, now you can say I wrote a long essay means I had a long piece of paper on which I wrote. So only your words occupied that space, that long piece of paper. But what you wrote, the meaning of what you wrote, where is it occupying? Which space does it occupy? When you say, now my ideas have become very wide, what do you mean by wide ideas? Does it mean that you have become now 10 feet larger in space? No. Where does this largeness exist? There is, yes, there is a space which is not physical space. We are aware only of terrestrial space. But if you want to understand your own ideas, and if you know that your mind is narrow or larger or wider, It is surely not this terrestrial space. It is mental space. There is a space of the mind. There is mind space. This is only physical space. But there is also mind space. Similarly, there is life space. When Alexander the Great conquered a large area of space of the world, and if you ask him the question, when you say, I have conquered all this space and I am very happy, what does it really mean? That space already existed any time. The space that he conquered already existed any time. But he says, I have conquered. What does it mean? Does it mean that he now lives in this whole space? Physically? Not at all. He occupies his large space in his life space, not physical space. In his life feeling, in his vital desire, which he wanted to conquer, he wanted domination over the vast space. And now he feels that he is now able to dominate. He can command something to be done which is obeyed everywhere in that space. Where is that space in which he commands actually? Because that space already always existed. Now this space which he commands is surely not this physical space, it is the vital space. All our desires, they live in the vital space. All our ambitions belong to the vital space. Just as all your thoughts belong to the mind space. And these spaces are much larger than the physical space. Even to imagine the physical space is such a huge thing, it is unimaginable for us. If you consider the galaxies and the wide spaces between one star and the other, if you consider how many millions of light years it takes for light from one star to come from there to here, millions of light years, such are the distances. That is the reason why Mother said as an exercise that if you want to be very, very wide, if you want to come out of your narrow prison, think of yourself in a small space, then think of your country, which is a very large space. Think of all the continents of the world and think of the sun and the star, which is not very distant star from us, and then many other stars, each one even many of them bigger than the sun, and the systems, galaxies in which they are all located, billions and billions of them, and consider how much space is involved as compared to that where you are and what space you are occupying. And you are troubled by little things in the world. And even you are troubled with little things, if you think of such a huge space, those little things will disappear. All your grumblings, grudges, this is not done to me, I am entitled to this, I am entitled to that, why people don't look at me? But there is so much space to look at. And this is only physical space. Life space is even vaster. And mind space is even vaster. And when you come to the higher mind, illumined mind, intuitive mind, over mind, and supermind, because the word supermind is very common among us, we do not consider what supermind really is. And what will be the vastness of supermind? And then if you come to transcendental, the Supreme Purusha, the word Purusha has to be understood first. Purusha is a status of consciousness in which one feels oneself to be the originator. Any status of consciousness in which you find or you experience yourself to be originator, that status can be called Purusha. Now, whenever you can see yourself as originator, you will find yourself to be superior to what is originated. This is a speciality of the Purusha consciousness. Because of the status of consciousness in which one finds oneself to be originator, one feels oneself to be superior to that which is originated. When you produce a beautiful picture, you paint it, then with regard to your painting, when you see it, since you have originated it, the status in which you are now placed with regard to the picture is a Purusha consciousness. Purusha is always a status of consciousness. It can exist with regard to anything that is presented to you as that which is originated by you. Each individual can be said to be individual Purusha. Then there can be cosmic Purusha. All the terrestrial and supraterrestrial existences, if you stand behind and you see all this originating from you, then you can be a cosmic Purusha. You are the cosmic Purusha. And if the whole world is transcended, and you stand above everything, then you have Purushottama, Uttama Purusha, the Supreme Purusha. Everything in the world is seen to be originating from you. Be thou as perfect as thy Father in heaven is perfect, means to be one with the Purushottama. And you don't need to fabricate it. It is not as if little by little you fabricate it. You are already that. It's only we are not conscious of it. We have cabined ourselves in a small status. Only a little thing we see and we feel that we are originators only of that little thing. But if you begin to expand yourself in consciousness, then already you are now Purushottama. It's not that you have to fabricate it. You don't have to become Purushottama. You are Purushottama. That is why the word that is used is you realize. It's called a realization. You realize you are Purushottama. In the Upanishad we have a very short sentence of knowledge. That art thou. That art thou. Thou art that. That is a transcendental. That art, A-R-T. Thou art that. This is supposed to be the formula of the supreme knowledge. Three words. In which the supreme knowledge is contained. Later on, I shall tell you the Sanskrit words which you have to remember for your whole life. Tat tvam asi. Tat. T-A-T, Tat. Tat means that. Tat. Tvam. Tvam means thou. Tat tvam. T-V-A-M. Tat tvam. Asi. A-S-I. Tat tvam asi. Asi means art. Thou art that. The Upanishads are very famous for brevity, very brief, but packed. Thou art that. Realize thou art that. Not, don't become. Thou art that. It doesn't say thou should become that. Thou art that. Already you are that. You only realize it. At present you have forgotten it. You only realize, remember that you are there.